Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, welcome on this lovely Sunday morning with myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548, on the lovely program Globetrotting. As the name says it, Globetrotting, you travel the world. And traveling the world, the best university you can ever, ever get is to travel the world. Travel different destinations, and wow, that is your university. Is that what you would learn from while traveling? I think no university can teach you with theory. It's physical experience of different parts of the world. And that is traveling. And once you get the travel bug in you, believe me when I tell you, if you get the travel bug in you, you are stuck. You just want to travel, you just want to hit the different destinations. If you can, Allah make it easy. And if you have the ability, believe me, go for it. I've seen many people, they work all their life. They work so much so that 6 o'clock in the morning they're off to work. Come back home at 7 o'clock in the evening. But haven't traveled anyway. I pity some of those people. I pity them. Please, just try it out. Go to certain destinations and from there you'll see how you will enjoy it most. And Allah give you barakat, inshallah. Do it with the intention, Allah, I'm going out to see the world, I'm going to learn. And also, if I can, while where I am, I'm going to give some da'wah to deen. And inshallah, Allah will make it possible for you. So do that. Believe me, it is the best thing to do. And there are so many, many, many different places to go to and different destinations that you can choose from. Although, we find that certain areas are now becoming no-go zones. But the world is still a global village and you can still go out. So go out and just go check it out. Enjoy yourself. I'm telling you, it's the best. But one thing I always say, do not leave your Islam and your Salah at home. Take it with you. Pack that first in your bags and let that go with you. And then you will really, really have a good time, inshallah. So that's the way it is. And shukr alhamdulillah, we've just come out of Ramadan. And we haven't been broadcasting in Ramadan because who wants to go for a holiday in Ramadan? Lots of people went to Umrah, went to Palestine. Alhamdulillah. But holiday is a bit of a no-no, I would say, in Ramadan. So all those that went for Umrah, that went to Palestine, I hope you had a great time. There was lots of report backs, and alhamdulillah, it was just fantastic from what I gathered, alhamdulillah. But we were out in Ramadan, and shukr, we are back on track now again. And with different destinations, we look at different places, different countries, different agendas, and you know what? We tantalize your taste buds. When it comes to going to different destinations, we choose the different destinations. Some places we've been to, some we may not have been to, but we tantalize your taste buds, where the interviews that we have will attract you to go to those places. There are some countries which they were not heard of. And alhamdulillah, we spoke about it, people then went to those places. People, some of them changed their holiday destinations after listening to some of our programs and went to those countries and came back and gave us fantastic report backs. And that makes me proud, alhamdulillah, shukr. And that is something which I love to do. And that is just to assist anybody. Always on our SMS line, 072-786-5520. That's 072-786-5520. Now, on this program, we don't talk politics. As you must have heard for the last, I think it's about 8 years now, no politics that we talk. We don't do, we try to steer away from those things. We don't want to get involved in all those things. For us, it's just fun talking of the destination, talking of the lovely places, alhamdulillah. So that's what we're going to do. I've got a different plan for the next 6 months on what we're going to do, inshallah. So we're busy working on different programming on tourism, but we're looking at it in a different light altogether, and I'm steering away from the normal interviews that we've been having. But alhamdulillah, we are still going to enjoy it most, and we are going to have insight into different countries, different destinations. Because whenever you're going for a holiday, my suggestion is that when you leave for, when you plan on going for a holiday, first of all, look at what that country has to offer. Do some research of the country itself. For us, in the first place, let us do some research in the sense of Muslims there, where the Muslims are concentrated, halal, where should we get that? That's the first three that comes on our list. And from there, we start with toothpaste, then we start with all those things. And passports and whatever have we. So all those things come afterwards. But the first three most important things, and I think that is common knowledge. I don't have to tell you that. It's common knowledge. But alhamdulillah, Now, today, very interesting, we're going to be talking about Islam in a destination which is just, I think it's the best. Where you toil in the sun, where you just enjoy the beach. And I had spoken some time back about Seychelles. Now, we spoke about Seychelles, but we spoke about the turquoise waters. We spoke about the white sandy beaches. We spoke about the best of fish that you would get when you're snorkeling just along the beach. When you go a little into the water and you're snorkeling and you'll see the best of fishes, Allah's, the best of fish, Allah's creation, Alhamdulillah. And we look at that. And that was the holiday we spoke about. And today, we're talking slightly from a different angle. Today we're talking about, which some people had asked me after the program, what's the Muslim population in Seychelles? Are there masjids? Halal, haram, things like that. Now, we have to look at that first. So, looking at that, Alhamdulillah, we came across a professor, Emeritus Professor Mohsin Ibrahim, who wrote a book on Muslims in Seychelles. Now, Professor Mohsin Ibrahim has enriched Seychelles' history by touching upon certain stories which have not been revealed before about Muslims in Seychelles. Like I said, we didn't know about Muslims in Seychelles. That while I was busy this week with some research on that, and I was busy with somebody at work, and we were just talking about, and he said, Muslims in Seychelles, do you think there's Muslims in Seychelles? And that's exactly what I said. And I said, listen, they are, but we do not know of these things until you don't dig into them. And Alhamdulillah, we've dug into it a little bit, and we found, amazingly, that there's a book written also. And Seychelles, the founding president wrote in the book of Professor Mohsin Ibrahim, he wrote there, whilst nostalgia may not be what it used to be, going through the pages of this new book by Professor Mohsin Ibrahim, I cannot but be reminded about some of the fascinating aspects of Seychelles' intriguing and vibrant history, with some of the anecdotes having a sad dimension, whilst others fascinating. And then Professor Mohsin Ibrahim's book takes the reader back in time when Arabs and pirates used to frequent the island, and covers the French settlement, the British annexation, the road to independence, independence itself, the coup d'etat, introduction of a one-party state, then the reintroduction of a multi-party democracy. So, you know what, it goes into everything of Seychelles. Not only Islam in Seychelles, but across the board, Seychelles itself. Professor Ibrahim, who is from Seychelles, he was born in Seychelles, he completed his studies in Islam at the Alimia Institute of Islamic Studies in 1975 in Karachi. And he went on to complete a Bachelor of Theology, the BTH degree, at the Al-Azhar University in 1977 in Cairo, in Egypt. He then obtained MA and PhD degrees from Temple University, that was in 1983 and 1986 in Philadelphia, USA. And he is currently the Professor Emeritus in the School of Religion, Philosophy and Classics at the University of KwaZulu-Natal, Durban. A senior professor and researcher at the Regent Business School in Durban, South Africa. A member of the editorial board of FIMA, which is Federation of Islamic Medical Association. The yearbook and the academic research director under the auspices of the International Institute of Islamic Thought, that's IIIT, that's in Herndon, Virginia, USA. And while he was busy with all that, even Sir James Sir James also recalled that as a child growing up in Seychelles in the 1940s, some of his closest friends were the children of the highly respected Suleiman Adam, who was a close business friend of his late father, Richard Mencham, and the grandfather of the author of the book, which is Professor Ibrahim, Mohsin Ibrahim. He said he later personally befriended Suleiman Adam and discovered that he was a man of enlightened judgment and broad-mindedness. Sir James went on saying, although I was myself a practicing Roman Catholic, religious belief was no barrier in terms of our social and friendly association. Today we obviously have much, much more Muslims in our community who are fully integrated within our society. And this give a lie to the suggestion that the Muslim world is made up of fanatics and anti-Christian activists. Now that alone, it's the akhlaq of a person, it's the personality of a person which changes the outlook and which changes the mindset of some of the people and bring on a different look towards Islam. And alhamdulillah, we are so fortunate today to have with us Emeritus Professor Mohsin Ibrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Professor, jazakallah for joining us on a Sunday morning. I know it's early for you. During the week you're busy. Being a professor, whatever, it's very, very difficult. And for the titles that you have, I think you must be very busy. And on a Sunday morning for you to get up and talk to us, I think that's an honor for me.
No, it's okay. And I appreciate you having me in your program. Shukran jazilan.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. I briefed a little about yourself. Now you are born in Seychelles, from Seychelles, and you are very active in Seychelles. Now Seychelles, why I specifically chose Seychelles also, is there are many, many people that do not know what the role of Islam is in Seychelles. Because you know, it's a holiday destination, people don't realize that there is an active Islamic background in Seychelles. And I thought this would be so ideal for us to talk and bring to the attention of our listeners that Seychelles has got a Muslim population, and there is halal, there is Muslim consciousness in Seychelles. And that is why I thought, let me just bring you about. And you want to give us a brief about yourself as a professor? That what I've mentioned, I think, is just scratching the tip. But you want to give us a brief of who you are and your life in Seychelles?
No, whatever you mentioned is fine. I don't want to dare on myself. Let's talk about the country itself and the Muslims better. It's enough what you say about me. All right. Now, should we talk about the Muslim Seychelles? Should we talk about the Muslim Seychelles now?
Professor, I'm picking up a feedback. Are you on loudspeaker? Because I'm picking up a feedback. It's not coming out very clear to me here.
Wait. Let me check. Okay, how is it now?
Alhamdulillah. If you're closer to the microphone, jazakallah.
Yeah.
Let us first of all talk about the Muslims in Seychelles and yourself being part of the society of Muslims in Seychelles from beginning. Now, as we were discussing previously, I think you're about the fourth generation already in Seychelles?
That's right, you're the fourth generation. But you see what happened before, let us talk before the Muslims came over, it's before the people who came and settled in Seychelles, Muslims. Well, let's talk a bit about the exiles, the Muslim exiles. You see what happened is that the British were colonized Seychelles, and wherever there was a problem in these in countries where they were, for example, in Malaysia, if there was a problem with the Muslims trying to do anything there, then they would exile them to Seychelles, and that is far away from their homeland. So the Sultan of Perak came over, that was the first, and it's important to mention the contribution of the Sultan of Perak when he came over to Seychelles. He came with his wife, and he came with the children, and the servants, and so on. So when they came
So they used it as an exile place for the Muslims?
That's right, before even people coming from India and settling down there, it was a place of exile. Even Palestinians were exiled there. So all over the world, you know, in Oman and so on. Wherever they thought that the Muslims were causing problems in this country, they said, let's send them far away. Even the eventually you became the Prime Minister of Egypt, Sadr Gloul. He was also exiled there. All right?
So let's talk about the Sultan of Perak.
You see, when he lost his wife, then being far away from his homeland, then he wrote to the British who was there, to ask him that, listen, I'm a Muslim, we cannot bury my wife in a cemetery which belongs to the Christian.
Right.
So then what the British did, they carved a plot of land within the Christian cemetery and they gave it to the Muslims. And that time was, and other people of his family also who died there, they were buried there. So until today, that plot of land belongs to the Muslims. It's in the heart of the Christian cemetery. So this was the contribution. But apart from that, there was nothing that the exiles left behind. We are told that they were slaves that were brought in from Africa, but if you look at it, there was no indigenous or indigenous African slaves generation in Seychelles at all. So it was the Muslims that came from India, from different parts of India, Porbandar and also from Baruch. Alright, this is mainly where it is. And then eventually we had one, the last exile came from Maldives. And he was a very learned person. He studied at Al-Azhar University. He was also my first teacher of Arabic and Islam. So I was tutored under him about Islam before I left for Pakistan to study Islam. So but let me just tell you about the Muslims in the early ages. In the early days, we never prayed five times a day. But it wasn't there.
Okay.
Okay.
So there was no masjid, now, there was no salah facility.
There was no masjid, nothing. And we didn't have prayers. What my grandfather did was to bring workers from India to work in the shops. So now some of them were Hufaz. So they used to teach us how to read, you know. But that was basically, but no one organized actually five times daily salah. The only salah that we prayed was the Eidain, the Salatul Eidain, the two Eids. That was for
many years. So no Jummah, there was no Jummah, there was no salah
nothing.
All during the year?
Nothing at all. You know, even when the Tabligh Jamaat came by the Karanja in Kampala, they would come and visit us. But then it came on Jummah, but the Tabligh population is so small, so they... Nothing. We didn't. They didn't even make us. Sadly enough, they didn't even make us pray with them. You know, when they came and tell us, "Go and let's pray with them." So then, what happened in 1992? In 1992, yeah. In 1992, Mawlana Fazlur Rahman Ansari, al-Marhum, who came to South Africa before that, and actually mobilized the Muslim youth and so on. So he came to Seychelles. When he came to Seychelles, then he established the Islamic Society of Seychelles. And from then on, we've been praying five times a day and the Jummah Salah. So that is how it started. And from then, so 1972 is when the Muslims were actually got the revival of Islam and organized themselves. And then I went off to study in Pakistan. And then I went to study in Al-Azhar. In 1977, when I came back, then my grandfather, he says that he's got these godams, you know, storage places where it's empty, we don't have so much goods, so he converted that into an Islamic center. So then this is where we attracted people to Islam, and we had the Creole people reverting to Islam. Now, around 1977, we were about 100 Muslims. And today we are just over 2,000 Muslims, but the population itself is only 98,000 for the whole country. And we have 86 islands in Seychelles. Okay. And the whole population of people are only 98,000, and we are about just over 2,000 Muslims.
Majority of the Muslims are on island of Mahé?
Yeah, we are majority on island of Mahé, but we have the two other places. For example, if the people go to two islands, if any of the tourists wish to visit Seychelles, they have to go to Praslin and Ladig. These are the two.
Yeah, Praslin and Ladig are the most popular islands of the three.
Yeah, popular islands.
Tour, so they would always send you to, like when I've been there also, I've been to Mahé, Praslin and Ladig.
Yeah, that's right. And we go to Musalla in Praslin, but they're going to build a masjid, inshallah, shortly. So on Mahé, on the island in Mahé, we have two masjids. Not far away from each other. So the one is right in the center of town, and that no one can miss that, you know. And it's been renovated, and then we got a business center. And they were the people from United Arab Emirates, you know, Abu Dhabi, are the ones who actually paid for the extension and gave us a business center where we get revenue for the masjid, so we don't have to worry about collecting money and so on. So that pays off for the upkeep of the masjid, the imam, the muezzin, and so on. Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. But now, as far as the politics are concerned, regarding like now you're talking of putting up a masjid, Is there any red tape or is there any difficulty that you encounter by doing so?
No. I mean, even in the time of when, you see what happens, we have very good relations, and the government is very good, in fact, you know. The government have, let me just tell you, see, you don't discuss politics, but it is important for us to talk about politics in Seychelles. We had independence in 1976, and then in 1977 it was overthrown, you know, hardly 1 year after. The Prime Minister overthrew the President, who was actually attending a conference in a Commonwealth conference in England. He was knighted by the Queen, and despite that, of being knighted by the Queen and they took over his country, the British refused, like they do everywhere in the world, you know, in India and so on, you know, divide and rule. So they refused to reinstate him. They said, no, the people have decided to have a... Although it was a coup d'etat. So what happened is that he was exiled, and then the Prime Minister took over. He became the President, and then he, for 35 years or so, it was a one-party state. And slowly, in 10 years after, pressure was put on him that you must allow the President to come back. In fact, he lost his mother. He was not allowed to come for the funeral and so on, so he came back. So when he came back, then he had a multi-party state, but being away from the country for so long, he did not enjoy support. So the President, the current President of the political party there, remained in power for 40 years until today. But then what happened last year, when they had the general elections, they lost the National Assembly. So the majority are the opposition now. So this is
right.
So now they were okay. Although they were one-party state, but with Islam, there was no problem. We were able to build a masjid, even the second masjid and so on. And now in Pale, there has been some objections being raised. Why is it that the Muslims are being given priority and allowed to build masjid everywhere? There have been some concerns, but inshallah that will be overcome and will be able to build a masjid on Pale. I don't see any problem. Even the opposition now, they are also supporting the Muslim community because we are a peaceful community, we integrate with them, we live nicely with them, and the government also have a council, it's called a religious council, where all of us are represented on the council. So this is a good thing. So we have meetings now and then, and we discuss about because of the problem in the world with the Muslim, with Islam, the terrorists and so on. So we discuss about Seychelles. This thing should not happen in Seychelles because it's a tourist destination, and we depend on tourism, so we should not create sort of problems in this country where people will stop coming to visit Seychelles. So, alhamdulillah.
Now, is Tabligh and Muslims, you know, open Muslim, I would say, activities allowed there?
Yeah, we are open. We can say whatever we want on the member. When I speak about politics on the member. There's no problem. No one checks you. We are better off than the Arab countries where they have to vet their talks before they give. We are free to say whatever we want to. We can even hold seminars, whole week seminars on Islam, and there's no problem. We have the speakers coming from what you call that, UK, yeah, Manchester University. We had a professor coming from there. Then we had from Sri Lanka, and also from United Arab Emirates scholars coming and delivering lectures, so there was no problem. We even planned to bring our late Ahmad Didat, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, but it didn't materialize, so we could not. But they had no objections for us to bring scholars from overseas to educate the Muslim people about Islam.
Alhamdulillah. So now, in fact, I've just got an SMS now on my SMS line asking me if there's anyone that's going to Seychelles, is there a Muslim organization where the tourists can contact and then, well, it looks like, from what it's very incomplete here, but it looks like what they're asking is, before going to Seychelles, is there an organization they can contact and ask maybe where the halal places are and whatever it is?
Yeah, no, but you shouldn't worry about halal places. Let me tell you one thing. You see what happened is that because the United Arab Emirates, especially Abu Dhabi, has the head, the Amir of Abu Dhabi, all right? He has built a castle on the on the island Mahé. So they have very good relations, when you're on fire with the army and so on. And because of that, all the hotels have facilities for istinja, all right, in the toilet. And then all the hotels, the major hotels, they all have halal foods, okay? So there's no problem about that at all. You know, but if you want to contact, it's the Islamic Society of Seychelles, that is which was established by Mawlana Fazlur Rahman Sari, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. So we can contact them, but of course we have to, we got a mailing address. But it's not a problem. When you come, the main masjid, this is where the Islamic Society of Seychelles is housed. In that main masjid on Mahé Island.
That's in the town of Victoria.
That's right, right in the town of Victoria. Yeah, you can't miss it. Leaves, no one can miss
that. There's another SMS that came on our SMS line 0727865520. I'll repeat 0727865520. Another SMS came, which I think you've just covered it already. It says, Assalamu alaikum, would like to know where to get halal food in Seychelles. Is it available in hotels? You've just answered that question.
Yeah.
So it seems like people are always concerned about that, especially when it comes to islands. Like
many times
I get listeners asking me about, for example, Zanzibar. Somebody is going to Zanzibar, they ask me, what about the halal in Zanzibar? Now, you'd find that in Stone Town, for example, you'll get lots of halal. But going on the outskirts, Italian hotels, it's a bit difficult, although there's majority Muslim there. Likewise, many ask me about Seychelles. Now, that also, when it comes to the different hotels, there are so many foreign hotels that's in Seychelles. That also, I think we got to be wary at that.
The small hotels must be wary. The big ones is okay.
There are a lot of Arab chefs in lots of those hotels which I've seen.
Yeah, they are Indian chefs from India. Some of them are Muslims also. So there's no, you can even ask for you to speak to the chef. They'll tell you whether it's halal or not halal.
Right, that's very, very important, alhamdulillah. Now, when it comes to tourists coming to Seychelles, if there's any issue, whatever it may be, or when it comes to any difficulty, you know, my personal experience, the Seychelles people are humble people. But when it comes there, you're going to encounter, you know, sometimes with some issues, you may have some problems and so on. Now, the organization that we have there, the Muslim organization, they are in town, and then when you're on the outskirts, now, Mahé is not very small though, so obviously, you know, to come to...
No, it's only, I don't know, in kilometers, but it's 17 miles long, that's all. It's, in one day, you can go around Mahé, the whole of Mahé.
You can tour around the whole of Mahé.
But we got Muslims all over him in the south of Mahé. They got a Musalla also. So there's no problem at all. And Muslim, the people are well aware. You ask the Creole people on the street, is there a place where we can pray? They will show you where the Muslims are, where you can pray. Yeah, and then the best thing to travel there, if you go as a tourist, is to take the bus. It's only 5 rupees. You can travel in the... from one destination to another for only 5 rupees. So don't take the taxis because they are very expensive. The best way, and you can see the different small villages or towns and so on along the way. Even when you go to Pane also, you must just go in the bus. It's only 5 rupees from destination to destination.
So that's very, very... I've got another SMS that's just come in, and it's asking, are all the Muslims concentrated in a certain area?
Yeah, no, we have a Muslim concentrated on the Mahé Island, okay? So we both have we have them in the north also, in the center where Victoria is, in the south also. So we have that. In Pane, we have, it's easy to find out in Pane, Ladig also. But Ladig, it's a smaller island, so you have to ask for the Muslims where they are. But then people will tell you. No problem.
Right.
And then let me say something about the Tabligh Jamaat from Johannesburg. And now from Durban, recently they came before Ramadan. They went from Durban, they went to Seychelles. And I heard even on Eid Day, there was a Tabligh Jamaat from South Africa went there, and they asked a 15-year-old Hafiz to read the Salatul Eid. We had the government allows us to use the open field, you know, for Salatul Eid. So all of us pray there, and the young Hafiz, he's the one who led the Salatul Eid, he's a member of the Tabligh Jamaat.
Alhamdulillah. So it's very, very liberal and very open for Islam. Alhamdulillah.
That's great
to hear. Now, when it comes to, as we talk of the concentration of the Muslims, now the population of the Muslims are they I would say from different groups, like for example, you have Arab, you have Indian, you have African Muslims, you have all the different types of Muslims. Are they all concentrated together, or do we have them culturally together in the areas?
Yeah, you see, we don't have Arab Muslims in a sense. Only tourists will be the Arab Muslims, all right? Those who are tourists or those. By the way, the Sheikh is the one from Abu Dhabi. He's up on the mountain. You won't even see them. They don't allow you to see them also. But then we have workers from India, from Malaysia, and also we got from Bangladesh. These are visible. You can see them all over, you know, in town. Even you go south of the island and so on. And then we have the Creole, those who reverted to Islam. They are also, you can see them. And you'll be surprised if you go to Seychelles, there are some of the new reverted Muslim women who wear the hijab, the full hijab. You know, it was called the burqa. They wear and walk on the street without any fear or anything like that.
Now, I've just got another SMS that came in here, and it says, let me just open up this one here. It says the Muslims that are in Mahé.
Yeah.
That's very incomplete here. Okay, let me open it up again here. I'll get this SMS here again. And there's another one. Please give prices to the destination. Okay, prices, that's got nothing to do with you. All these different SMSs that are coming in.
No, but the prices, let me say something about the prices. You see what you must do? You must never go to Seychelles and do any bookings or even to go to the islands, because what happens, you have to pay as a tourist double to what we pay as residents.
Okay.
So what you must do, if you're planning a package to go to Seychelles, for example, 10 days or 1 week, then you must pay everything in rents here. And you must pay for half board. Because if you go out to eat, at the other places, not in the hotel where you stay, you have to pay really. It's very expensive because everything is imported. So we don't have anything grown there, in fact, you know. So that is why all your booking about you half board, so you have breakfast and supper, which is taken care of, and you can have a bite somewhere, you know, when you're during the day.
Okay. Yeah. Now, here's the SMS that came in here. Now, it says that since the professor has spoken that Islam is so new in the country, are there maktab facilities available for the youngsters?
Yeah. So at the both the masjid that we have, we go to an Egyptian scholar who is teaching the children one place, and the other one we have a scholar from Maldives. So the children come, and the Islamic Society of the Sharia, which is the main society, we send the bus, in fact, to go and collect the children after school from the different small localities and bring them to the masjid for madrasa classes.
So it's all the locals that are there that is going to those madrasas even. Any who farz that are now farish in Seychelles from there?
Sorry?
In Seychelles?
Sorry, I didn't get it.
Any who farz, is there any Hafiz classes that are being conducted there?
No, unfortunately we haven't started the who farz classes. So hopefully, but they all can read Quran. I mean, even the new revert, they read Quran. I was just sitting by someone reading this with perfect tajweed and so on. So it's very good. But unfortunately, we haven't started that. But hopefully now, the Tabligh Jamaat from here, from Johannesburg, actually say they're going to organize that. So inshallah, let's hope it materializes. And this year, we had three Hufaz who came from UK. Throughout the month of Ramadan. So my cousin paid, he stays in UK, and he's also from Seychelles. So he brought them over, and the whole month of Ramadan, they read the full 20 rakah in the masjid, and the main masjid in Victoria. And then just before Eid, they went back, because they completed the 27, and they went and had Eid with their families back home in England.
So Islam is very, very active now. This is, I would say, I've traveled quite a bit, I've been to Seychelles also, but listening to Islam about Islam in Seychelles, I think I've heard what you're telling us now. The very first time I've heard of this, and there are many, many people who are unaware that Islam is so rife and Islam is so open in lots of these on lots of these islands. and being Seychelles in particular, people go there for a holiday. We tend to come to Seychelles, we'll get into the plane, get off at the airport, get into the bus and go straight to the hotel where we are. From there we book a tour, we go around the island, do the tour, whatever it is, go to Praleh, go to La Digue and finish, we're out of there. Without exploration of Muslims in the country, I think we should bring it to the attention of our listeners that there are Muslims. Go there, talk to the imam, start talking to all those people, it's no problem. As you just said, there's no issues with Islam there. So I think listeners should do that.
Yeah, and one good thing I want to tell everyone, if you're there on Eid Day, if you are in Seychelles, besides the Salah that we have together, it has been a tradition of my grandfather that he was the president of the Islamic Society of Seychelles for many years. So on Eid night, there's everyone is fed. All the Muslims, even if you are tourists or whatever, you come to the masjid, then they are given food free of charge. So everyone comes there. It's amazing. It's really, really nice.
Alhamdulillah. So, it's something which we learn all the time. So it sounds like the fourth generation was, your family, the fourth generation. Were there any other Muslims that came during that time, or was it your great-grandfather?
Yeah, there was. You see what happened? We were, my great-grandfather, Adam Musa, his name was, and the shop which we had was also in the name of Adam Musa. But now we closed it down. It's just being rented out, different businesses and so on. It's right in the center of town. So now they had other people from other parts of India, but then what happened is that many, in the early ages, when Islam wasn't vibrant, they left Islam. So it was only our family that kept Islam. So that's what I always say, it was an honor to write this book and to say that, it was our family who actually preserved Islam. It was the Indian people that actually, Indian Muslims that actually preserve Islam, and today we have to give credit to that.
Alhamdulillah. Now, where is your book available, and is it available in all the bookshops?
No, I didn't put it in a bookshop, but if anyone phones me, I got copies, and I can send it there.
What's the cost for those books, possible? The cost for the books,
It's 200 rand for the book, yeah.
Okay, so it is available. What I'll do is, if there's anybody that are interested in the book, it's called Muslims in Seychelles.
Yeah, it's Muslims in Seychelles, A Historical Appraisal of the Allegracy. Yeah.
So if anybody's interested, you can SMS me on 072-786-5520. And Professor, if I give you a number off to the listeners, whoever wants information, is it okay?
Yeah, it's okay.
Your cell number is fine?
Yeah, my cell number is fine, yeah.
Is that fine? Okay, so if there's anybody interested, you may contact me on 072-786-5520. You may mail me also, if possible, on Mohammed, M-O-H-A-M-E-D. That's Mohammed at globetrotting.co.za. It's Mohammed at globetrotting.co.za. I will give you the information of Professor, and inshallah, it will be very interesting to read that book. I'll be one of the first to get the books from you, inshallah, Professor. And I just hope, inshallah, I believe you're leaving for Seychelles next week.
Yeah, next Saturday I'll be in Seychelles for about 2 weeks, inshallah. We have the elections for the Islamic Society president, the whole executive committee next Sunday, inshallah. That's why I'm going there. I want to say is about Seychelles is that, unlike Mauritius, it's really, really beautiful. The beaches are, and the water that you stay, turquoise water, and it's really nice, and you can have a real nice holiday with your family. Yeah.
And now what I gather, you can have a halal holiday.
That's right, halal holiday, that's right. Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. It's so much of insight we've got in the short hour of yours, I think. There's so much of information which I had to grasp with regarding Muslims in Seychelles. I really, really appreciate the information. And inshallah, Allah give you barakat in your life. Allah make it easy for you. And Allah make it possible that you have a safe journey to Seychelles and back. Ameen. And you are now permanently based in Durban.
Yeah, for the last 32 years I've been here, but I go up and down here.
Alhamdulillah. And the extended family are still in Seychelles?
Yeah, I got four brothers there. I lost my mom and dad not long ago. I have three uncles. Yeah.
They all still there, alhamdulillah.
Yeah,
no, that's fantastic. I'm really, really, really honored to have you on
and talk to you about this. I appreciate you having me. Alright.
It's Emeritus Professor Mohsin Ibrahim. Jazakallahu khairan for that. And Alhamdulillah, it is just amazing to know that sometimes we take certain places for granted and we don't realize what the value of Islam is in those places. I would never have thought that that place, Seychelles, being so liberal and allowing Muslims. Alhamdulillah. And from a population of 98,000, with 2,000 Muslims, there's just over 2%. You know what? I think that is amazing. And that is the qudrat of Allah. So, anybody interested in going to Seychelles, you can take me with you if you want. But if anybody interested in going to Seychelles, please, when you go there, go to Victoria, the town Victoria, and go to the masjid, and you can tell them that you heard about Professor. His family are there, so you can probably just make some, like I always say, make a guy. Make some connection there and say, you know, we heard Professor talking, we heard Professor talking of his family and so on. Alhamdulillah. And there's quite a few other SMSs which I will respond to now regarding Seychelles and regarding, well, lots of people are asking for prices to Seychelles already. Okay, let's see what we can do. We'll try and assist you with that also if we can. And let's see what we can do and come up with that. But if there's any queries on 072-786-5520, if you would like to get the book of Professor of Muslims in Seychelles, I think it would be interesting to get the book. I'll be one of the first to get it. I've just thought of it now. I must get that book. Read about the Muslims in Seychelles, because that will be something very interesting to read about. So, inshallah, from myself, next week, same place, same time, Muhammad Lambat. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.